Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing B'Siyata Dishmaya, our series of Shiurim in the Sefer HaYakor Ad Me'od, the Nevuchei HaDor Shel Maran HaRav Zatzal, Shekatav Dei B'Tzihiruto, Erech Pitshat B'Shnat 1900, about the year 1900. The Rav was born in 1865. Nachnu Achshav Higanu L'Perek Gimel. בדורנו שהדעות נסתבכו עד מאוד והפילוסופיה בכלל ירדה ממעלתה אצל רבים, אין דרך רפואת ללבבות הנבוכים, ברק מבירורים של מופתים מופשטים ועיני חוכמה נעלים לבדם. אם צריך לעשות עיקר דבר שהוא קיים לעד, לא ייתכן לשום אדם בעל תכונה אנושית רק לשאוב הוא היושר והצדק. In our generation, ideas have become very entangled, and philosophy in general has gone down in its esteem by many people. The way of healing the hearts of the perplexed is only from the way of healing the hearts of the perplexed is not primarily from explaining abstract axioms and lofty matters of wisdom. But rather, we need to make our primary focus a matter which is eternal and which no person who has any human traits can deny, and that is yosher and tzedek, that is uprightness, ethics, and justice. Hayosher v'atzedek v'omak ha'chokhma v'yesodam rak al piyam nuchal avo b'din im kol adam she'en lecha adam she'enom mechuyav liten et ha'yosher ha'tzedek eloch et chukam. Haken b'tor shar likanes l'shmi'at ha'torah v'yirat Hashem. עלינו לבאר את חיובי התורה כולם, בין חובות האיברים ובין חובות הלבבות שבה, על פי חוק דרישת הצדק והמוסר והיושר. ולביור זה יעזור הרבה התבוננות בטעמי התורה ויוחד הצל ומי שבהם. Ethics and justice are the depths of wisdom in its foundation, and only through them can we engage all people. There's no person who isn't obligated to give justice and morality its due, and therefore as a gate to enter into the guarding of the Torah, the preserving of the Torah. And Yiras Hashem, we have to explain the laws of the Torah, both the obligations of the limbs, actions, and Chovos HaLevavos, the obligations of the heart, based on the requirements of Musar and of Tzedek and Yosher. And for this, we have to contemplate the reasons for the commandments, and specifically, the national aspect of them. Shishtelem adam mishmarat ha-Torah al-pi ha-kara shal drishat ha-Yosher ha-Tivi, ha-Rav yizem ha-Ma'ala la-Ma'ala, ad she-yaskil gam kein taharat yirat Hashem ve-Avato. Aber kedei laniach makom el drishat ha-Tzedek ve-Yosher shenuchal lezkot ha-Yedah at kol bnei amenu lashuv b'tshuva shleimah, תורת השם יתברך, ושלמות שמירת ברית השם אשר עמנו. עלינו לסכל את דרך הדרישה הטבעית מכל אבני הנגב שיכולות להימצא באופן הציורים, שליושר הטבעי עם הסכמת ערכי התורה, והוא, על ידי מה שנבר יפה את המושגים שנראים כסותרים את חוקי המוסר הטבעי מפני הבנה בלתי שלמה בתורה, כמו שהשתדלו את הראשונים. If a person is perfected in keeping the Torah according to the recognition of natural morality, he's going to go higher and higher. The only thing is, first, we have to remove any moral questions from the Torah. Sometimes things seem to contradict natural morality, but they really don't, and that's what the Rishonim tried to do with the apparent corporeality of Hashem. He said, no, it doesn't really mean God is a body. And the idea of itpa'alut, that God is impacted. He said, no, he's not really impacted. God doesn't change. So in the same way that the Rishonim were miyashiv these inyanim, we have to be miyashiv the morality of the Torah, the Torah moral. Of course it is. We have to explain why. פרק ד', ישנם דברים שהוא היה ראוי שלא לדרוש מהם, והם, בני שהם מכבשנו של עולם, כשתני דעת רואים אותם הדברים בספרם, בספרים, ואינם יורדים לעומקם מתקלקלים, הם במידותיהם ואמונתם. There's certain things, really better not to talk about, because when people see them, קטני הדס, they're weakened in their faith and their midas. However, in our generation, a lot of Sfarim have been written that they throw off, they speak derisively about matters that are beyond them. So we have to explain. We have to show how mistaken they are, all these people who are casting aspersions on the Torah. And therefore, otherwise it would be better to hide these things. But since already people are writing Sfarim and people are talking about it, so the only way to go is that we should discuss it as well in the proper way. השאלות הגדולות של חידוש העולם או קדמותו וכל השאלות האלוהיות הנתלות בהם. חזרו בימינו להתנער. מעמד הדרישה החל לצדדם כלפי הדרך שכפי השקפה ראשונה הוא מתנגד ליסודי אמונה. מובן הדבר שאף על פי שאין אותם דרכי הדרישה מוכיחים כלל ואינם קיים בתור השערות. מקום מקום די להשערות כאלו לחמס את האמונה מלב האנשים שלא הכשירו את עצמם במה לקנות דעת האמונה והכרתה. The big questions of the creation of the world or its eternity and theological questions that are connected to them have been reawakened in our generation, in our times. And it seems that the research, the stance of research is against our hashkafa, against our yisodei amuna. It's important to know that it's all speculation. And all of this, nevertheless, even though it's all speculation, all these theories they come up with, still, people who are weak in their emunah are moved by that and are shaken. So by explaining these things, that these new chakiras, this new scientific research, doesn't contradict the Torah, that will calm people. הקדמות באופן הגה של הפילוסופיה הקדמינו הייתה ונגף למונת ישראל. הדרך אשר חשוב שעולם בכל יצריו כה היו מעולם, ולא איסור ולא שר, ואין עם אותו מופת ושינוי מן הכלל, כיוון שכל החוקים לפרטיהם הם מוכרחים. על כן הרבה רמב״ם לבאר שאין לאריסטו יסוד מוכיח, מוכרח על זה הדרוש. כיוון שהוא מסופר כאן משווים לקבלה וטוב לנו להיות תלמידי משה ואברהם. בפרט שהדעה של החידוש מסכמת עם דרכי המוסר ואורחות הצדק, שהוא גם כן אותו מופת על המיטתה של כל דעה. So this idea, the Kadmus HaOlam, the eternity of matter, that's a stumbling block for the Jewish faith. That the world always was and never changes. And then you can't have nisim, because the laws of nature are necessary. So the Rambam explained that Aristotle has no proven foundation for his notion. And better be Talmidei Moshe and Avraham, not Aristotle. Especially that our path is the path of tzidkus, of goodness, which also proves that it's true. However, don't worry about it. Omnam adia shel kadmut betzura zo kvar avra ubatla min haolam. This opinion that the world is kadum, that the world is eternal, it's been nullified. So today you see that they were changing forms. You see different animals in different levels of development. then animals evolve. That's what the scientists say. So if that's true, then how can you say everything always been the same? So nobody holds that anymore. I don't think there's a scientist alive who says that the world has been around forever and that nothing ever changed. Not that, not that, not that the world has been around forever, and not that nothing ever changed. השירות החדשות אומרות לנו, אומרות, שאנו רואים עולמות הולכים ומשתחלים לפנינו, מיתו של היתר שיעבור לאחר שלמות ושכלול. ואין לנו לנטות, דרך לנטות לפי זה, שגם עולמנו כה היה מנהג, לומר שנולד פעם אחת עולם מלא, או שמעולם כן היה, אין מקום בינן וניסיון. New speculations that we see before us say that there were worlds that are continually evolving from the chaos of the ether, of the ether, until they arrive at their full development and perfection. And there's no way for us to turn aside this claim. That to say that the world was created once with everything, or it was always like this. Ein makom b'dat v'niseyon. So science does not agree with that. Hachomer yimei hakadum. By the way, I just want to make it clear that Rav Kook believed in the Torah and in Chamisha Chumshei Torah and in God, everything. The question is how to resolve what science says with the Torah. But to say that the world has been around forever, that nobody believes anymore. That it never changed, that nobody believes anymore. We know that it changed. So the Kuzari says that the claim that matter is eternal does not damage our fundamental beliefs because the Torah only deals with the imparting of form to matter. By Yitzirat Surit. When it had form. But then that's not the opinion of Chachmis, many Chachmis Israel. They think that it is no Gea. Chomer Kadum is no Gea. You can't say the Chomer is Kadum. Hatpchutut Ababa, Draga Rabba Shel Miyardim Shanim Zeo Marish Lavavot Katnei Deya. So here, Rav Kook cuts to the to the chase. What's up with evolution? That evolution happened over billions of years. Remember, at his time it was a new theory. But now, not everybody believes it, but in the scientific world, I think it's safe to say that that's the generally accepted explanation of how we got here. הם חושבים שהתפתחות תיתן מקום לכחש באלוקים חיים והם טועים מאוד. An evolution that happens gradually over billions of years, this is what causes the trembling of hearts of the shallow-minded. They think that such a notion of evolution gives room to denying the living God, but they're mistaken. דעת אלוקים בנויה רק על ידיעת האחדות. Knowledge of God is built only on the knowledge of unity. כשאנו רואים היצירה הגדולה שערוכה בסדרי חוכמה והליכות החיים בגופם ורוחם ושכלם, שכל נערך במערכה אחת. הריינו מכירים את הרוח הגדול שיש כאן, שמחיה הכל ונותן מקום לכל. ואם דרכי החוכמה מחייבים שיהיה הדבר בא על ידי פתחות של רבות רבה שנים, עוד עלינו להתפלא ביותר מערב ונשגב וחי עולמים, כשאין כרגע ושקעין וכרגע נחשבו רבות שנים, שפעולות בלו הרף להפיק איזה תכלית רצויה. שפעולות בלו הרף להפיק איזה תכלית רצויה. When we look at the great creation, how we laid it out with such wisdom, orderly wisdom, as a scientist, as the head of the Discovery Institute in Seattle, which is a institute that tries to spread knowledge of God and creation, not religious or Jewish, but definitely close there. They have at least one Orthodox Jew working there. But their hashkafas are, they believe in the Bible, they believe in the Torah. So this fellow, Stephen Meyer, not Jewish, but he's Christian, but he's a scientist and he's a believer in the Chumash, in the Torah. And he says what shows God in this world is not just the complexity of the world, it's the integrated complexity. Everything interacts with such incredible wisdom and coherence. So that's what he says. We see the Yetzirah Gedola, that has such wisdom. Everything is integrated into a single system. Exactly what Professor Meyer was saying. It's all one system. So what makes this whole system work? The answer is Hashem. And then if you tell me that it took billions of years for this to develop, wow, it's even a bigger wonder. Falls is all done in one shot. So you're amazed at the one-time miracle. The fact that this developed over billions of years, so it's a billions of years worth miracle. So I'll note that many people would say, no, chas v'shalom. Now that I believe that, it's against the Torah. Okay. Not arguing with them. It's definitely not pshat in the pashup, pshat in the psukim. But just putting aside for a moment the Torah, but just asking if there's a God or not a God, to say that this all came about by itself, even if you accept evolution, evolution is also a miracle. There has to be a God behind that also. Now the question is, how does that fit in with the Torah? הרצונו החיוב בחוק האלוקים הוא הדבר שדנו עליו חכמי דורות, ועולם לפי השקפה נראה שאם נודה בחיוב אין כאן תורה ומצוות. אמנם אשרה נוטה לפי הדרישות האחרונות לצד החיוב. Free will versus determinism when it comes to Hashem is something that the wise men of all generations have wrestled with. At first glance it seems that if we'd accept determinism, there's no room for Torah and mitzvahs. And according to the latest research, they say today, they don't say that so much anymore. But according to the latest research in his times, they say there's chiyuv, there's no choice, there's determinism. אנחנו רואים לדעת שאין חיוב סותר את התורה אם קיימתו מצומצם רק החוקי הטבע המוכניים. אבל כשהתפשט הדבר באחדות כמורה שכל חוקי הצדק והרשע ויושב והעול ועוול, וכל הדברים המסתעפים להיטיב את הכוח המוצרי של בני אדם, גם אלה מכלל המציאות הכללית המה, גם הם הנוסדו באותו כוח עצמו של איתן החוקים הכלליים של יסודי המציאות, אז נזכיר להיטב כי אל המצוי האמיתי חי העולמים, ונוכל לייחס לו רצון ולא חיוב, כי למעלה מאלה הגדרים. אמנם נאמר עליו שהוא מצוי ההווה, כיוון שחוקי הצדק גם הם נמצאים במקום המציאות, וחוקי הצדק טובים גם כן חובות רבות שאי אפשר לפותרן, כי מציאות רצון כללי הצדק ומשאיר מרחוק, אז זה מוכרח שימצא מחיוב המצוי השלם, אם כן הרצון הוא גם עלול ומוכרח להימצא. One should know that determinism only contradicts the Torah when it's limited to the mechanical laws of nature. When the idea of complete unity expands, that all the rules of righteousness and wickedness, ethics and corruption, all things which follow from them, which improve the ethical state of man, are also part of the whole reality, and are also established through that same power of the steadfast universal laws of the fundamentals of existence, we'll understand that we can attribute neither will nor compulsion to the true existence, to Hashem, because he's beyond those limitations. Indeed, we can only say that he exists, that he is. Now, since the laws of morality also have a basis in reality, and since the laws of morality make many demands, it should be impossible to resolve except through the existence of a universal will for righteousness and uprightness. Behold, the existence of this dispensation is compelled from the necessity of the existence of a perfect being. And therefore, free will has to be a reality as well. So God is above everything. He's above being forced. He's above having free will. I mean, we talk of Hashem as having free will. We can understand it. But of course, We don't even know. We can't describe Hashem. The Rambam says we could say what Hashem isn't. Talk about what Hashem is, it's only within our realm of understanding. But the bottom line is that Hashem commands us to be moral. And that must mean that we have free will. The existence of gratitude and recognition of the good, lacking from existence, the spirit of man would be left without sparkle or shine. And therefore, it's impossible for existence not to include this perfection, because it is only manifest when free will is engaged in benefiting creation. In other words, we have a concept called Hakaras HaTov, Hodat, thanks. What would the world look like without it? It would be dry, be dark. And therefore the Metzius has to have it, and it only works when we have free will. יסוד מגמתנו במה שאנו אומרים רצון בכל הכל יתעלה, הוא שרוי שימשכו בנו על ידי הדעת את האלוקים, אותן המידות שרויות להימשך מפועל ברצון, שנראה ועבר מנוע ביטחון שמן אותו של האנושי, ועל פי נגלה לנו, השם יתעלה לפועל ברצון. רק הם יודעים נאמנה שבהיותנו, אומרים וחושבים כפי הרשמים שציור רצון החופשי בחוקי התפרח, צריך לפועל עלינו ואנו מייסדים כל מעצנו ברגשי לבינו על פי זה. אנו הולכים בדרך האמת, ואם נבטא ההפך ונחשבו ונכוון גם כן, רוחות שכלנו, רגשותינו, מעשינו, על פי ציור ההכרח, זהו מדרכי החושך. כי אין לנו בכל מושג כי אם לדעת את יחסו אלינו. ויותר אין לנו משיגים, אפילו במשיגים המוחשים אנו משיגים הצבעים, כפי התור שמשמיעים על ציור חוש ראותינו. את הרך והקשה, החם והקר והקל והכבד, על פי המושג לנו. ויש לנו דרך לתאר את אלה, איך הם מנצים מצד עצמם. כי נבן הדבר שיסוד דעת אלוקים באמת, כפי מה שהוא רואה למצא בידיעה שלנו והמשבש. אותן הדרכים הוא טועה ומטה. The main thrust of our agenda when we assert that free will is a necessary aspect of the divine is that it is proper that through knowledge of Hashem that emerge within us those traits of those who act with that those people who act with free will have, like Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem and Bitachon and Emuna, and that builds human happiness, and Hashem revealed us through this. So we talk about Hashem having free will, and that we're B'Tzelem Elokim, that we have free will. And that helps us serve Hashem and do our job. So then we're going B'Derech HaEmes. We only know every idea of how it relates to us. For example, our sensory experiences. You perceive colors. What's the real color? Is it really blue? I see blue. Who says that it's really blue? Hard, soft, hot, cold, light, heavy. Through whatever is perceptible to us, do we have any way of describing things as they actually are in their own essence? No. So it's understood that the true basis for knowing Hashem is according to what can probably be found in our knowledge. And anybody who corrupts this is mistaken, and he's causing others to make a mistake. Okay? That's a big yisod. Okay? Yuvana davar shiyisod da'at elokim be'emet, ufi mashu uili matzei bi'idiya shelanu. Hashem is as we understand him. And not as he actually is. So we talk about Hashem having will. So we'll also understand that we have free will. Even though for Hashem, it's only we perceive him as having free will. It's all, remember, our eyes are wired, our ears are wired, our brains are wired. And Hashem is beyond any of this. We hear, we interpret, we create a story. This is all from a human perspective. Hashem has a different perspective. We talk about him as having, for example, free choice and will, so that we understand how to relate to him and how we should relate to the world. And we also have free choice. We also have will. So, Mir Hashem, the next chapter, Manolav talks about Maisa Bereishis and evolution. So that's very fascinating to see where he goes with that. Hopefully we'll continue next time. Thank you for listening. Shalom, shalom.